CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. You made it to Friday. Congratulations. You deserve a pat on the back. No one's going to give you, like, accolades, but I will. That's how we're doing this. Morning, Simpiwe. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Ah. And then there was
light. And then there was light.
But it came on. It came on just a second or two too late for me to actually make myself a coffee. So anyway, we'll be all right. It is Friday morning. It's the best day of the week. Jesus, I've got to tell you, like, it's only been, it feels like it's been 3 months that I've been back at work because we've been so busy. And Sipiwa can stand up for me on this one. But oh my God, it's been. I got back to work two Mondays ago. Okay, so, all right. A Monday ago. So it's only a week. Feels like I've been at work for 5 weeks. I swear, we've been so...
How much has happened?
We have been so busy. I mean, if the rest of January, which is thankfully only a few days, because, you know, January, if the rest of January is going to be as crazy as this last 2 weeks have been, I'm going to need a holiday by mid-February. I mean, it's crazy, right?
That one. I feel like I could write a novel, like the first four chapters already, just with the 2 weeks that we've been open. So much has happened.
Right.
So much is happening. And I'm just like in disbelief. I'm like, oh my word, oh my God, oh my word. Because what?
Well, we've got what, 4 days left in the old building and then we're moving house. We still got to move the studio across, which is a major, major thing. We're doing construction on the other side. I mean, it's very exciting, but geez, it's a lot of work, hey? Whoa.
Yes, it is. I will say that I was like super excited about the move, but now I'm like counting down the days purely because of like recent developments in the office. So I'm like, okay, I'm glad we're leaving. Like I am.
What?
Ooh,
are the developments? now you've told me, I need to know.
So. it's no secret that we share the building with other tenants. And one of the people from the other buildings has kind of taken a liking to me. And about like 2 days ago, approached me and was like, you know, I've been watching you.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, I like your style. He was telling me about like all the clothes that I wear and stuff. And he was just like, you know, I'd love to take you out on a date. And I'd like to do. And I'm just like, so you're not my cup of tea. So I'm actually really glad that now we're moving.
Jesus.
Because I don't have to deal with him. And yesterday as I was leaving, he was like, hi, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I get to know you better? I was just like, oh my word.
No.
Can we just go already?
Just no. We're not interested in, I no. Ugh, a stalker.
So I'm count. I'm like, when is next week? There's, oh, okay.
Whew. Can't wait. Listen, there are some people who just, I don't want to ever mix work and pleasure, ever. And I don't want to have people around me at work who are like in my friendship circle or any of that. I know some people like it. In fact, some people love it. They love mixing, you know, getting their friends involved and they do work with their friends and they've got projects they're doing together and all that stuff. It's not for me. I do not like that
stuff. Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster because when it comes to things of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Money can just ruin 20-year friendships in like 3 seconds.
Everything. So bad.
It's so don't do that thing. I'm excited about the move. I'm happy about the move. I'm also one who doesn't want to mix work and personal life. So I'm just like, sir, even if I thought you were cute, this is not gonna happen. Because I'm not trying to see you all day, every day in my space.
No.
You know, straight after work. There you are, or you just come up. No, sir, right. I've never envisioned that for myself. So,
Thank you. Move along. Get on with it. Well, I, you know, part of the reason that it's also really nice to move is we're literally in walking distance of Sandton City. You know that?
Yes.
So I was talking to somebody, and I thought about how, you know, in South Africa, we have such a different view of like distance, for example, because if a place was 2 blocks from you in New York or in London, you'd walk. You wouldn't even think twice. You'd be like, it's close. I don't need to catch the train. I don't need to catch a taxi. I'll just walk. and Santon is like a block and a half away. And I suddenly thought, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna walk, and it's not a dangerous area or any of that shit. So there's a restaurant across the road from us. There's all the shops of Santon just a block and a half away. I think we must get used to walking. I think walking is good. I think it also, it keeps people in those cities a little trim, if you know what I mean. And I'm going to be doing that. I'm not sitting holed up and getting in my car every time I have to drive, like every time I have to be less than a kilometer away. Come on.
Sure. No, also, Santon's a bit expensive, so you will have to pay for parking. So that will also motivate you to be like, you know what? Do I need my car? No, I don't, because I don't want to pay 10 Rand just to be there for all of 5 minutes.
Correct.
Like, okay.
But what is cool is, like, if you suddenly need something at the office, and it used to be a bit of a schlep for us, because although there were those Chinese shops up the road in our current premises, they don't sell a lot of the stuff that you want necessarily or that you need. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, well, let's go and see what the Chinese shops have got. But usually it's like a bunch of crap. So this is going to be like, oh, wow, we've got all these amazing stores within walking distance of where we are. That's phenomenal. So
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because it's the richest square mile. So that means during lunchtime, I can go to Santon City. And you don't know who I might bump into, might see. And there's guys in their suits, and you just might chat it up. And
I love the way all those things you just said about, keeping your powder dry and not working with people who you are attracted to and all that stuff. I love the way that goes out of the window as soon as it's a rich dude in a suit with you. I mean, geez.
I mean, no, Gareth, he doesn't work where we work. It would be in a, we just happen to meet at Santon City, for example, So that's a different town. I'm just saying, I'm excited about that part.
All right. Well, there's someone who said here, have you heard about the 15-minute cities? 15-minute cities. She says Google it, or he says Google it. Let me have a look at this while we're talking. So just quickly, this is interesting from George. And at such a good point when you talk about working with friends or, kind of mixing friendship or relationships and work. George says, if you can fire the person honestly, then be a friend. You never know when you could become someone's boss. It happened to me. Ooh. Ooh. We'll have to ask George about that later on, because he's back on the show today, which is good news.
Yay.
Here, it's Propaganda says, have you ever heard about the 15-minute cities? So I'm looking it up now, and it says a 15-minute city is a residential urban concept in which most of the daily necessities can be accomplished by either walking or cycling from the residents' homes.
Ooh.
That's cool. Apparently, some of the best examples of this are Oxford, Canterbury, places like that. Well, that's very cool. I do agree.
Ooh. Okay. That's something that's I'd like in Joburg. That'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
With all like our touristal attraction places. It's like, it's so doable. So let's do it, Sat'a. Let's do it and let's live our best fit life,
Ryan has some advice, though. If you're going to go walking, Simpiwe, just leave your valuables and cash at the office. Knowing you, you'll lose another phone. Yeah. Well, you're getting a reputation. Are you getting a reputation?
I'm a responsible human being, It's 2023. New year, new me. Like, that doesn't work.
Right. So much to talk about. Okay, so Simpiwe, let's get this out of the way. I ended up talking about Real Housewives Fun Pretoria. I think it was this week it came up. And apparently that was a hell of a show. So Rian, who produced it, I saw him in December, and he told me it's been a smash hit, and everybody was watching it. Old, young, black, white, rich, poor, English, Afrikaans, they had subtitles there, so people who don't speak Afrikaans could watch it, and it was a massive success. They're probably going to do another one of those. But
I'm happy.
You're happy that I saw it, or I saw enough to like know that these were real people. And I told you I watched about 15, 20 minutes of it. That's all I could bear, but I know that there are lots of people who are embarrassed to admit that they really enjoyed this and that they like these shows. I'm not embarrassed that I watched it for a little while, but it's not my thing. I don't really like reality TV shows, so I don't think I'm ever going to be into it, but I think a lot of people were, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, if you like watching it because you find these people awesome, or you like watching it because you find them all full, that's your business. That's absolutely fine. I have no problem with it. And I don't judge. Mm-hmm. People must watch whatever they want to watch.
Yes, and I am very proud of myself because I called it. I was like, if there's a reality show that people have to watch, it's The Real Housewives from Pretoria. But now there's a new one launching, and I can tell you now, guys, yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, I'm a sucker for reality shows, but I also know which ones you should watch, which ones you shouldn't. And this one, I just saw the trailer, and I was just like, it's going to be a mess. This is just, in fact, it's ratchet. Gareth, it's absolutely ratchet. So there's a video of one of the ladies. I'm not going to say anything else. This is the Real Housewives of Gqeberha. And I'm just going to play the video.
All right, let's see.
And you'll see for yourself the mess that's going to come.
Oh, my God.
I'm a princess, a lover of good things, but I don't mind getting dirty. Foot sick.
I don't know. But I don't mind.
Just said foot sack.
I know. That's so funny. Did you see that thing? It's been doing the rounds again of coconut. That's so brilliant. Did you see that video that's doing the rounds of coconut Kells? Who's hilarious?
About Eskom.
About load shedding. She says something about like. And she also talks about the water, that she only drinks water from Woolworths because she doesn't drink water from the tap. She says, you know, that'll, if you drink water from the tap, it makes you sound all ghetto and you say things like, hi, suka. That reminded
She's not
me.
Lying.
Yeah, but that reminded me of this clip with Norma. I'm dirty, foot sick.
Who says that?
Rough.
Imagine national TV. Yo, I was like, what an embarrassment. No, guys, don't watch that show. Please, don't do it.
Oh, God, we are an interesting country. Yes. Sis. You know, just when you think you know South Africa, shit like that happens, and it's happening on TV, and you're like, how the hell did we get to this? This is crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents. If you do watch it at your own risk. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not.
Well, Ricky says, I'm originally from PE. Believe me, you do not want to watch that. Ruth says her fiance was into it. I just laughed. Crazy, but not into reality shows. Well, I was most surprised that I didn't even know, having grown up and lived in Pretoria most of my life, I didn't know any of the housewives. I was disappointed, you know. I thought, oh, I'd at least know one or two of them. I didn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you know the producer, so it's close enough. You know what I mean? Like the guy who, I think that's close enough. I think, maybe.
What?
No, knowing the guy that like ran the show. Maybe that.
Oh, yeah. No,
you don't need to know.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean,
that's close enough.
We've interviewed him a few times on the show, so I think everybody on the show knows him. All our listeners know him too, but that's like a behind-the-scenes thing. I just thought I'd actually know some of the women. I didn't. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, come on.
Maybe in season two. Always bring new faces.
You mean I don't know any of the ratchet people who are on these shows? Come on. I thought I'd add them to my catalog of people, famous people I know. Got a list.
It's no, so you don't bad. Know them yet. Don't you know how it works? Season one, they introduce the first five. Then season two, they add three more other ladies. Before you know it, it's three seasons in. There's 10 ladies.
Yeah.
And you're like, hi, Bo, Susan, you also are there. Nah, chief.
Well, if we had to do Real Housewives at Cliff Central, do you think we've got enough people that we know who could make it really spicy on the show?
Well, it depends what you're going. Are you going for classy or are you going for ratchet?
Let's just say, let's say somewhere in between. Let's say spicy. Let's say they're not, they're not like totally embarrassing and terrible, but they're not boring and, you know, cross no dotted lines and, you know, don't break
then
any rules. You don't think, okay.
Oh,
No. Who's first?
Mash.
Technically, he does want to be a housewife, right? He does want to find someone rich, settle down, do as little as possible.
So, Mash has all the ingredients because his life is just so adventurous. Like episode, he'll be going to a nude beach or something. And then in another, he's just talking about how, you know, I just want to live this, quiet, peaceful, private life. You're like, what? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Make it make sense. How we, yeah. Of course, and Mom Jane, yes, she would be the head honcho. She would have to be the madame.
Everybody. So Conga Chris says Jane, Ricky says Jane, Sanella says Jane. Let me tell you something. If Jane had like a lot of money, if she lived in a mansion and she was married to a rich man and she had just tons of money, let me tell you something. She would be a show. There would not be another TV show on TV that would even compete because Jane, when she's on fire.
I think even now. If we put a Big Brother on us, Jane, I swear people would not watch anything else. They would be amazed at how she can go from a 0 to 1,000 and then come back to like 0. And you're just like, how, sweet? How she just lectures everyone and then 2 seconds later, but I love you guys. I love you. Like, huh, Mom Jane, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
She was annoying us about futsak.
she would say things like futsak and naisuga. So Bastana says, I would love to see the Real Housewives of Aranya. I don't know if there is a housewife culture in Aranya. I think everybody there lives pretty simply from the bit I know about it. And I mean, we should do a special on Aranya because I think people are fascinated with it. The fact that there's this weird little throwback somewhere in South Africa that people kind of live like the, you know, white South Africa of the 70s or whatever. And I think people are interested in that. They want to know how it works. But I think, as DK says,
are they all like sister wives there? What's going on? Well, you know, how do I qualify to also be part of it? You know,
the DK says Aranya wives will be out on the tractors working the lands. That's probably about right. But I think we could easily put our own Real Housewives together, even if we just had Mash, Jane, and some of the guests we've had over the years. I actually asked because we're now busy trying to sort out all our furniture and things, right? So we're like, we're going to get rid of this and we're going to move that, and we've put stickers and all the stuff that we want to take with us. And all the stuff we want to get rid of, we've kind of decided that I think Lebang sent out an email to everybody saying, if you want anything that we are getting rid of, you can just justify by sending us an email and telling us why you deserve it. 5 reasons, which is, I think it's brilliant because, I mean, some of it, you know, we're not selling it to any of the people who work. So if somebody wants it, they just have to give good reasons why they need it. Have you put your name into the hat for anything? Is there anything you want?
I'm good. I'm great with everything here. And especially after seeing the new premises, I'm like, these things must just stay here.
No.
Right. These things, no. But there are some one or two fights for like the plants. You know, some people want to be plant mom and dad. So they're like, oh, I want a plant. Oh. And it's like half the plants are dead. So I don't know which plants you guys are fighting for.
Yeah.
I'm all about like new place, new furniture. Let's go.
Yeah, let's start new. Let's get rid of all the old. That's how I feel about a lot of stuff. It's like when I've moved on from a place, I've moved on. You know, if I've decided I don't like a place or I don't like a person anymore, frankly, I move on very quickly. It's like, boom, different. Let's change it up. I want you to watch this. I'm going to play you just a little bit of it. It's Madonna, okay? And she's doing, ooh is about right. But just watch this, and then I'll tell you what it is, because I'm only going to give you about a minute of it. So take a look at this. And if you're not watching on YouTube, I'll explain afterwards what's actually going on here. But basically, it's a bunch of famous people sitting around a table, and there's Madonna in the middle, and she's busy playing this game with them. And you'll hear what's going on here. It's pretty hardcore, and this is all over the internet yesterday. Have you seen this, Simpiwe?
I don't think so, Madonna.
Okay, let me put it on for you. Here it is.
I just want to make sure you all know why you're here.
Yes.
In this room, all bets are off.
This is tough.
Amy Schumer.
Oh.
Truth or dare?
Dare, bitch.
Ooh. Wow, starting off with a dare.
I want you to show me, with this spread, how you lick your husband's
what?
Asshole. I mean, butthole.
I think we're done. I think we're done here.
Nope.
He does have a gaping butthole. I don't think he'd mind me saying.
Okay, now, Eric, it's your turn.
This is kind of like sad and gross.
Oh my God, sad and gross is very popular right now.
West, also known as Diplo.
Ah, come on.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
You said dare.
Yeah.
My first thought was dip your balls in the margarita and then finish the rest of it.
You're so highbrow.
I'd do it.
You don't have to show your dick.
Yes, you do. You can't go over there and hide it.
Well, you got to show Madonna.
Yes. Jack, you have to verify that he's...
Why am I in charge?
I don't know. It just feels right.
All right. I'm going to stop it there because it carries on for 4.5 minutes.
Wait, what the hell? What,
all right.
What kind of sex party
exactly
vibe, so, truth or death are we doing so, here? Like, what?
Yeah, yeah. So Madonna and a bunch of her celebrity friends, including the dreadful Amy Schumer, Eric Andre's there. There are a bunch of interesting people around the table. Jack Black is there. Anyway,
little Wayne.
In the video, I mean, Madonna ends up like tongue-kissing Jack Black, which I feel sorry for him about. Little Wayne ends up like posing in a photo from the Sex album, which Madonna did years ago. What else is there? There's one guy you heard dips his balls in the margarita and then drinks it. So it's a typical, like, the kind of game you used to play at high school or university with your friends, truth or dare.
Mm.
And Madonna's used this as a launching pad because eventually someone dares her. One of the people around the table says to her, after they've done a bunch of these dares, and it's all, you know, like, I suppose if you're a Madonna fan or if you're a fan of any of these celebrities, you're watching this going, wow, that's so cool. These people play games like the rest of us played when we were, you know, at varsity or whatever. And I mean, they're quite hectic. They're, you know, there's no nudity or like actual sex or shit going on here. But it's Madonna and her friends, supposedly, all just having a dinner party and getting crazy. And Madonna, by the way, is, let me remind you, in her 60s, and she's doing this. But that notwithstanding, the whole reason they do this is at the end of it, after they've played all these truths and dares, then Madonna says, all right, I'll take a dare. And then somebody says to her, I dare you to go on a world tour and celebrate all 4 decades with every song. And the whole reason they do it is to launch her new world tour. And she says then, cool, I'll do it. And everybody goes crazy at the table and her music starts to play in the background and like they all start singing. And it's like it's actually a really cute little video. Even if you get past the fact that this is an old grandma and that these friends of hers are all celebrities and that they play these disgusting games with each other. Like once you got past that, it's actually quite a clever way to launch it. And people are watching it. It's already got like a couple of million hits on YouTube. And I just saw this yesterday when I was getting into bed and I was like, what kind of, you got to give this woman credit. She's always coming up with clever ways of reinventing and marketing herself. And I don't know what she paid these other celebrities or whether they're just fans of hers or whether they really are her friends. But, I mean, it's a really smart way because you think, what is this? What have I just stumbled on? There's so many questions after you watch this clip that you've got, right?
Yes, because I was just like, what the hell is going on here? Y'all are saying this is a party with friends, but y'all asking each other sex questions. What's going on? This is 5-2 being like, what? Cringe. I like what she did. I like how you're saying at the end, now she's launching this world tour. Do we need a world tour for Madonna? I don't know.
Right.
I'm not the biggest Madonna fan. But I'm just like, did we have to go this route though? Like, do we always have to shock people first?
That's what she does. Like, that's Madonna. She shocks people. That's her thing. And she's the best at it. And she's still shocking, even though people think that they know everything about her and they've seen everything. We may have seen everything, but clearly the woman has still got a lot of stuff in store for us. And I'll tell you, when they go through, if you look at her discography over 40 odd years, she's done some very good stuff. She's had some great music. So even though I wouldn't classify myself as a Madonna fan, I just thought that was a really interesting way to launch your world tour.
Hey, each to their own. I think she needs to just stop with these sex antics of hers.
She's too old.
I think, like Makriza, stop. Like, Makriza. You know, just stop and it's okay. Like,
nice shirt, Ben.
Thanks, Gareth. Is Madonna still showing her granny bits?
She's still showing her minge.
Madonna.
Well, I'll tell you what, she's 60 what? 66 is her? How old is she exactly? I always forget.
Yeah. Isn't that retirement age?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't
Madonna,
think so.
Stop the nudity.
She's not slowing down. Not Madonna. Okay, yeah, she's 64. And she's basically like tongue-kissing Jack Black.
Ugh.
Yeah, ugh.
It's so self-indulgence. And I'm tired of the argument, but she looks so good for her age. Like, I don't care. Like, I really just, no one cares. We just don't want to see old people doing sexy things.
No.
I know. I'm 41. I don't want to see myself do sexy things.
I agree.
She's much older than me.
Yeah.
She's much older than me. I don't want to see anyone over 40 doing sexy things.
She's much older.
Everyone has a window. Camera.
Yeah, it's like everyone's got a window, right? You've got to make the most of your 20s. Sure, go out there, sling dick, do what you need to do, because that's when you are aesthetically correct for those actions.
So when does it
stop? And the thing about Madonna is that...
When is the hard stop?
It definitely stops...
When you look over 50. The minute... There's people that are not 50. Right, they are 35, and they have not taken care of themselves, and I'm just like, ew, like, why are you doing that on screen? Like, stop it, put that away. So the minute you look over, like, you need to stop, put it away.
Yeah, but
Madonna, you've been looking over 50. Girl.
So by Simpiwe's standard, you're not gonna give us an actual age, but when you look over 50, but some people don't think that they look over 50, but they do, right? And Madonna, you could tell Madonna's like older than 50, but she thinks she looks like, I look 25.
No, that's amazing, but it's not our problem that she thinks that way. She could be that person. I mean, like, Gary Player is what, 80, let's just call him 100 because he's immortal.
Yeah.
Gary Player is 100 years old. That's great for him. Cool. But nobody wants to keep seeing his like ab workout where he's going, chah, chah. It's like, cool, dude.
Well,
I mean, like, it's not like.
Yeah, but here are a bunch of different opinions. So Ricky says, damn, does she still have teeth about Madonna? But then but then DK says, amazing. Not many that age could keep up with her. That's true.
But so what? So what? We just don't want to, like, everyone has acknowledged the fact that Madonna is timeless. Great. She's the Gary Player of pop music. Awesome. Amazing. But we don't want to see her. Like, nobody goes, yes, that's really inspiring. I can't wait to be that old, still trying to be dry humping and showing my bits to people.
Yeah, but then you get, like Ricky says, Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt. And
no, even them, they need to stop.
They must stop.
Oh, no. They need to stop as well. It's like, I used to drool at Brad Pitt. Troy, I was just like, oh, yes, those abs, give it to me, sir, all day, every day. But now I'm just like, you're old. Like,
hang on. Tom Cruise is jumping out of aeroplanes. He's making action movies. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt is a handsome older man who is doing movies where he's a handsome older man. Madonna is basically still trying to show you her vagina. There's a massive difference.
No, but yeah, covers,
I agree.
Like, Brad Pitt did a cover. I think it was for Vogue. I'm not too sure. And he was topless. And that they're still trying to sell the whole, like, he's sexy and old, you know what I mean, with the gray hair. And it's like, antics need to stop.
So,
put a shirt on. We appreciate you.
You're
old now.
Guys, let's give it a number, because otherwise it's very subjective. Some people do look better in their 40s than they did in their 30s, for example. Some people look better in their 20s than they do at any other stage in their life. And they should really stop at like 30. But what are we going to say? Because let's say a hard stop for doing sexual shit in front of other people, especially if you're doing like music videos like Madonna's or, you know, marketing material like she just released for this world tour. What would you say is the hard stop?
Gareth, it's really tough because it's so nuanced. Like, if you are a prostitute, as in like you are an actor or a singer or whatever,
right?
You have to keep selling your bits. You have to. If you're a mom on like I don't know, a family WhatsApp group or like Instagram, and you just putting that Chardonnay in your hand and you're sliding into the pool in that bikini. And this is, it's a different kettle of fish here, because the prostitute can keep going till 50 because they have to make money out of it.
Right.
The mom might just be having a low day, and now she's making everyone squirm a bit because she wants to get in a bikini shot. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And call me a misogynist, but it's a very different thing between men and women. Men genuinely just have more sex appeal as they get older. It's as simple as that. We can't fight that. I mean, the fact that those old charts at Vogue are still, you know, running Brad Pitt out shirtless just proves that. You know, you won't see, like, I don't know, Sports Illustrated be bringing it here. They do now because they're virtue signaling. But you don't see predominantly men's publications bringing in older women to look at. Susan Sarandon was probably the only exception. Literally the only exception, because she was like kind of older. And even Piers Morgan then had a go at her because she was showing clavage at some awards ceremony.
Right. Well, I mean, Beth says, Ben is over 40 and says not to show your bits at that age, but someone gave him the cheat code about gray sweatpants and no shirt, and he's using it.
Yeah, Beth, I'm working hard and entertaining myself. Yeah, I mean, look, I know I'm a massive hypocrite. I'm 41. I probably look better than I did in my whole life, but that's no excuse either. I'm over the hill.
Yeah, you got to accept, like, you've got some grizzled bits, you know, by 40. Simpiwe, this is not your problem yet. You've got a lot of time on your hands. You don't have to stress.
Yeah,
by the way, Simpiwe is going on a major, like, revamp of Simpiwe Mtetwa this year. She's, like, signed up at some gym, and she's eating all this, like, healthy food. And, like, I'm blown away by her.
Glowing.
Yeah, it's great.
She's glowing.
Simpiwe. Oh, thank you.
Simpiwe, sorry, I know I probably missed this earlier on in the week, but how did last Friday's date go?
I forgot about that. Good one, yes.
That was the cliffhanger we left.
Ben!
On.
How did it go?
Ben, I was hoping you weren't... No! No! In fact, it went quite the opposite. It was a good date, great conversations, and I think I will be seeing him soon again. So.
Very good. That's awesome.
Nice. I'm so happy for you.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We'll see how it goes.
So, guys, I got to play you this because it got an enormous response when I shared it on Instagram. And I want to explain why I shared it as well, because there are a couple of things I put on social media yesterday which got a lot of reaction. First of all, it just reminded me how easy it is to get it. You know, some people pay a whole department to, like, get them to trend on social media. I can still do this when I need to. I can, like, click my fingers, and it's fairly easy.
Trend
to, like,
favorably.
Yeah.
Gareth.
Yeah.
Trend favorably. That's what they're paying.
Is that
for.
What they want?
Not just trending. It's a different thing.
Right. Well, you know what? Let me just remind anyone who thinks they can only trend favorably that with the good comes the bad. That is inevitable. So if you're going to trend and you're going to hop into that pool, there are going to be moments where you look like you're on a tropical island having the best holiday ever, and there are going to be moments where there are turds floating past you. I'm warning you in advance. To any company that thinks you can only trend favorably, I've got things to tell you. Anyway, take a look at this. This is a girl, and I've got to say, she seems like she's probably a very sweet person. She seems very content and happy in her life, although I don't know whether it's worth discussing whether that's a real thing or not. But she's here on, I think, TikTok, asking people online, who she calls her besties, to help her choose an outfit. Okay, and she is enormous. She's a very, very big girl, but she clearly doesn't mind. She's very happy to show herself off. There's no lack of confidence there, let me tell you. I would not subject myself to that, and I am a third probably of her weight, if not less. But I want you to look at this, because my purpose here is not to make fun of her. I'll explain in a moment why I find it very weird that people would be posting this, and most especially why I find the reaction of people weird, because that's what I really want to talk about. It's not whether or not this girl should, you know, lose some weight or whether she looks good or bad. That's not the level I want to discuss this at. So let me play it for you, and you get the idea of what we're talking about here. This is from her TikTok. She's asking for advice on what to wear, and she puts on three different outfits, okay?
Stop, freeze, hammer time. No, just kidding. I'm going to a party and I don't know what to wear, so I need your help. First, we have my purple dress. Like, it's always a really good contender. It just never gets to first place. I don't know, tonight may be the night. What do we think? We got my lace bodysuit and my leather skirt that I've been wearing very often because I just love it. But like, I'm surprised at how good I look. I'm not actually that surprised. Okay, I got one more option. All right, the last one. Now, I think it might be too fancy for this party, but when has that ever stopped me? But like, I think it's like, it draws a line. Anyways, besties, let me know what you think. My outfit depends.
All right, so for those people who couldn't see it, you could fit her head into her body 50 times. And she's not, no one gets like that because they have health problems or whatever. So she's clearly, you know, got herself this level of obesity, which is fine. You know, if people want to live that way, they'll have short lives, but I hope for her sake, she's having a good life. And I really don't care whether or not, you know, people are, if you're going to be mean about that, that's fine because people do judge each other. That's how we find partners. That's how we choose our friends, and it's how we choose the people we want to be around. So we are judgy, whether you like it or not. But what I'm interested in is if you take a look at the comments of and by the way, the three outfits, it just, again, to not, I'm trying my best not to come across here as just bashing her because she's big, but it's not just that. She, you know, these clothes are tight fitting. They make it look like there's a sack of potatoes under them. It's not good. It's really not and any objective person would look at this and go, not great. So I want you guys to help me here, because every comment, with the exception of a few really mean people who said, oh, you're so fat and ugly, don't do it. But they were in the minority by a long way. Most of the comments, hundreds of them, are, oh my God, you're so beautiful. I would choose outfit number two, or, oh, you're so brave and beautiful and you look so great, and I wish I could look like you. And I'm being serious. These were the comments. People are like, just, you know, massively complimentary to her. And while I'm all for people being confident and people standing up for themselves and not feeling ashamed, because we're all human and we all have, you know, things that we're proud of and not so proud of. And we were talking just a minute ago about Madonna showing herself off in ways that probably she shouldn't. And Ben and I talking about when the age of retirement for that stuff should be. Simpiwe has her theories about Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, so it's all part of the same discussion. But I have to say, there's something deeply, deeply intellectually and socially dishonest about people who blow smoke up this girl's backside and tell her, oh no, you look fantastic. Because if she walks into a party in any of those outfits, the party that she's going to, she is going to have people look at her, and not for the reasons that they're saying in the comments. And I just feel like we can't be dishonest. We must be supportive of each other. There are ways to help each other. There are ways to get things better in all of our lives. Trust me, I know I'm always trying to improve. I know Ben's doing the same. Simpiwe is doing the same. But it strikes me as deeply, deeply dishonest that people are going into the comments on that girl's videos and saying that she's beautiful and she mustn't change a thing about herself and all the outfits look fabulous. Those are not people that you would trust to tell you the truth, ever. You know, it's like the husband who gets asked by his wife, does my bum look big in this? There is no answer he can give that is going to help him out of that situation except to say, oh no, you look great, and get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. But it is dishonest. It's dishonest. And I have a problem with that. Like, I don't mind if people are supportive, and I don't like the people who were very mean to her in the comments either. I don't know this girl. She might be fantastic. She might be the most fun person at the party. But let's not lie to each other, please. Do you think I'm right?
Absolutely. No, you are. Look, it's obviously a difficult subject, because everything on social media is so definite. It's like you either love something or you hate something. If you hate something, then you're a bigot. No matter what that thing is, you're just going to be called out on that. But there is, like, honesty is such an important thing in society. Like, if you have a child who's really terrible at fucking everything, but you keep telling them they're great, they're going to become very, very awkward adults to assimilate into society.
And they're going to get confused, because you keep telling them, hey, Johnny, you play soccer really well. You're an amazing soccer player. And then when he plays against the other kids and he's really crap at it, he's confused. He's like, did my parents lie to me? And he'll have issues with that for the rest of his life. Or he'll think he's better than he is, and he'll probably get hurt.
Well, he'll also hate the kids who are better than him because he'll be like, well, hang on a second. Why are you so good? Fuck you. I am great. I keep being told I'm great.
Right.
It's like for his entire life, Cyril was probably told he's great. And look at look at the shite he's plunged us all into. And, you know, people think it's maybe a joke, but it's really not. It's because people have been given a free ride and been given the wrong impression of what they actually are. I mean, if this girl is just going to be a TikTok star, amazing, great. Yeah. But she's a health problem. And what if she thinks everyone keeps telling her she's beautiful, and then she'd be like, wait, hang on a second. Why can't I find a boyfriend or a partner?
Yeah,
it's like everything that happens on social media, I generally think it's fair game, go for it. But I do, I totally agree with you. I think dishonesty then spreads to other ills, which are really, really difficult and not as trivial as what I look like in this dress.
What do you say, St. Peter?
So my friends and I were having like this conversation a week ago about bring back shame. And I think we live in an era where anyone can just post anything and no one's ever going to call you out on it. Right. And so you live in this bubble. And it's like back in our days when we were kids, if you did something stupid, everyone shamed you and you'd never do it again. And you knew that that was something that you weren't going to do. And I think that that helps. It helps in that process of like kind of like learning how to deal with other people. But also, I saw a TikTok that was talking about like, don't let your health go because men here still find you attractive at that size. It's like, I'm happy that you're confident, but as Ben said, let's be honest, you're not healthy, you know, and let's not encourage that. At the end of the day, there are like implications of you being that big. And it's almost like this culture of like, oh, you got to take me as I am. Well, you know, I'm thick. I'm this. I'm that. And it's like, chief. No. That's not how the real world works. So don't lose yourself in trying to be like,
yeah, I think popping on socials. You've just made such a good point. I take Ben's point too, but this is like bringing back the shame. Okay, so I don't mean that it is shameful for anybody to look the way they look, but a little bit of shame goes a long way. It like gets people back in line. For example, these days, anyone's sexual behavior, no matter how weird it is, like you could dress up as a dog and like, you know, and drink from a dog's bowl and be walked around on a chain. And we must think, oh no, but that's great.
That's normal.
You know, let's invite Clive and his girlfriend because he really likes it when she walks him around on a chain, and we mustn't make fun of him because that's like kink shaming and that's mean. And if you're mean to people like Clive who walk around on a leash, that means you're a horrible person. There's nothing wrong with Clive. I mean, there's nothing wrong with an adult male being walked around on all fours like a dog and drinking from a bowl, is there? And I'm afraid the reality is that most of us go, actually, there is. And similarly, if somebody has like some weird behavior, like they, let's say you're a guy and you are completely inappropriate around girls and you constantly say sexual things and you make the girls very uncomfortable and you think it's all right to pinch their backsides and all the rest. We know in society, instantly we know it is correct to shame that person. It is correct to say to that man, you're not allowed to behave like that because society has certain unspoken rules about the way that you treat women and the way that you behave around women, and especially women you don't know, and especially people who deserve a certain level of respect. So we're okay with telling a guy like that he shouldn't be behaving that way. We're okay with telling someone they shouldn't be racist or misogynist or homophobic, right? And we know that's kind of what people do now. If you find someone being racist, you immediately correct them, or you put them on the internet and everybody else shames them and then they lose their job and they get their punishment. But suddenly certain areas are like sacred. We're not allowed to say anything. You can't body shame somebody. You can't kink shame somebody. You can't criticize somebody for, I don't know, raising their children a certain way. And I'm thinking, no. Either we have to be in the position where what St. Peter was saying is a rule for all of us. So it's the same for everybody. In other words, if you behave outside of the unspoken rules of society, expect to be shamed. And if you stay in those rules, then you're probably going to live a life where people are not going to victimize you or say horrible things about you. You may be very boring to some people, and you might want to do things in your private time that, you know, have nothing to do with anyone else and that you think are a bit shameful and maybe you're a bit embarrassed about them. But if you do them publicly, expect people to react. And let's not be dishonest with each other.
So something we can all take as a given is deep down, we're already doing that. We're already everyone's shaming everyone the whole day. Inside our minds, we are shaming relentlessly.
Yes.
And don't tell me that's not true. So the thing about verbalizing it is, I mean, all you're doing is you're just closing the loop, right? Everyone's shaming you already. And don't think that, oh, everyone's saying nice things. This is going well. No, no, no. Deep down, they're still doing it. But this is the thing about what people also said, like, you know, real life. People are such a strange phrase nowadays because everyone's got their alternative truths or their lived experiences. So where real life used to be like our true north as human beings, that's kind of fallen away. So none of this really surprises me because no one has that concept anymore because apparently it must be challenged at any given stage because you cannot be wrong.
Also, by the way,
a lot of stuff
on the internet, people are also just saying nice things to somebody so that they'll keep embarrassing themselves for the entertainment of those people, right? So in other words, if you are a really, really funny person, but funny because let's say you have this deformity and you look a bit weird and, you know, you crawl around on, you know, one leg or whatever the thing is, because there are all kinds of funny things that are going on the internet anyway. And the audience are always going, oh, I think you're such a brave hero to be moving around on your one leg. And we're so proud of you and it's so great. But what they really, really want is just more entertainment. So they're just encouraging it for their own satisfaction. They don't really care about the person at all. And this idea that online, people, for example, who commented about this this fat girl in her outfits, people who were saying, oh, you're so beautiful. Now, they are only saying that because they want other strangers to think they're a nice person. I don't believe those people actually really believe that. They're saying that stuff because they see an opportunity to score some very cheap points and to come across as being, I'm a nice person because I said something positive and reinforcing to that fat girl. So people are going to think I'm great. The reality is nobody cares who those commenters are. Nobody goes and follows them as a result of their comments. No one's interested in them virtue signaling. But they feel good about it, right? They're like, oh, I'm going to be a better person than all those mean trolls. But actually you're not, because it didn't cost you anything to do it.
But again, this just shows that social media is actually the problem here, because when that girl goes out in one of those variety of textured sacks, she's not walking into a store and someone's going, oh my gosh, look how brave you are. You look beautiful. People aren't lining up in an orderly queue to say, yes, I agree with that person in front of me in real life. I think you're so incredibly brave and beautiful and not a health risk whatsoever.
No
one's saying that. So if you ever want, you really, really, really want to know what people think in life, go do your stuff in public. Go walk it. Go get walked around like a dog in a shopping mall.
Right.
Tell me what people really think. Don't do it on social media and go, this is me expressing myself. Everyone's going to go, oh, he's so brave.
No. They will go as wide a berth as they can around you. You know, you've also got to take what George says here, I think, quite seriously, because how do you grow as a human if your feedback is fake? So the effect is that the feedback loop is wrong and we actually get worse because of it. You know, this whole idea that you must live your authentic self, even if your authentic self is doing things which are socially and morally reprehensible. These days, people are encouraged to be their real selves and do whatever's on their mind and whatever they feel is right. And I think that's led to some very dark places, because you have people who, frankly, have got almost criminal ideas in their head, and the things that they like doing are dodgy as hell and dangerous, actually, to them and to society. But no one's giving them that feedback because they're constantly being told on social media by liars and or virtue signalers that it's fine, you be you, it's awesome, live your own authentic life, to each his own. And that's not honest.
So there was someone on TikTok who shared a story where he was like in varsity with this dude. They were both studying finance at the time. And, the big trend was like, go pursue your dreams, like at all costs. So the mate then dropped out of varsity. And a few years later, he got a call to say, hey, like Sipo from varsity, I just saw him begging on the street.
Yeah.
And he was just saying that this is what happens when you just listen to what is currently trending, right, on the internet to go pursue your dream. He went to pursue the dream of being a rapper. And he was like, at the time, he had the opportunity of, you know, getting a degree and getting a steady job. And then he could have afterwards pursued his career, becoming a rapper, but he didn't. And now he's out in the streets. And that's the consequence of kind of like following these trends just willy-nilly, is that you're going to go out there, you're going to quit your job, and then 6 months later, you can't pay your rent, you can't pay anything, and you're out. And that's the truth. That's what happens. It's like the other side of just listening to what everyone is saying and not really having a spirit of discernment to say, is this really what I should be doing? Is this how I should really be moving in the society?
I agree with you. I just want to point out that my problem with that video and that girl wearing her outfits and asking people what they think is not with her. I mean, maybe she wants to eventually lose some weight. Maybe she doesn't. None of my business. I don't mind. And I don't mind that she's putting her video on social media. She's allowed to do that. She's going to take the good with the bad. And I'm sure she gets a lot of hate as much as she gets love. But my issue is with those dishonest people who are telling lies about how great she looks. I think that that's deeply, deeply dangerous and dishonest and unkind. I don't think that's kind in the long run.
No, but I think it comes back to what Cynthia was saying about we must bring shame back. We must also bring name calling back. You know, last week we spoke about losers. I thought that was a very constructive conversation. People should be called losers when they are losers. Yeah. And it's the same with someone being called a liar. Like, we don't hear it enough nowadays, but we get lied to every single day, whether it's from, like, again, Cyril downwards. It's just liars, liars, liars. But no one gets called a liar. I've never heard a news reporter, a headline saying serial liar and then the person's name and then the story. Because that's what they are, right? They can have, like, fake doctorates from some college that wanted to virtue signal them, but they've never been titled a liar. Right. If you lie, you should be a liar.
We should bring that word back. Martelise says it all forms part of toxic positivity. Like, let's not fight ESCOM and the government because we need to be grateful.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a very good one. A toxic positivity. You know, where people are, they basically are just saying positive, friendly, nice things that are not true because they want other people to think they're nice people. That's the new term for this morning. If we've learned anything. Congo Chris says, look at Sam Brinton. His sexual deviancy wasn't giving him the negative social stigma he craves. So what does he do? He starts stealing women's luggage at the airport. So Sam Brinton is, Sam Brinton's this bald, trans, guy who worked for the Biden administration. I can't remember what department he worked in. I think it was energy with like nuclear waste, and getting rid of nuclear waste. So it was an important job. And Sam Brinton is this cross-dressing, trans, gender non-binary, you know, all that like attention-seeking stuff, bald head, makeup, doing videos about how important it is for people to be transing children at an early age, that kind of thing. Anyway, Sam Brinton's priorities were not getting rid of nuclear waste, but rather stealing women's luggage at the airport. So every time that this person would go on a flight, as a government official, they would grab a bag that wasn't theirs, that belonged to a woman, and then obviously put on that woman's clothes once they got home. It's like a fetish. It was a weird thing. That's clearly what was happening. And it was okay in Sam Brinton's mind because there was no shame attached to being a cross-dressing, gender non-binary, transgender person who behaves like that.
Yeah, you know? You are stealing. You stole someone's luggage and you took it home.
Also a thief. Yeah.
Yes, so a liar and a thief and a loser. Call people what they are. And a creep. Because can you imagine, you can't find your luggage? I mean, you've stood at that carousel, right? All of us have. After a flight, you're standing there and everyone else's bags have already been taken away. And you're just standing there waiting and there's like one bag that keeps coming around and it's not yours. And you're thinking, oh no, someone's taken my bag or it's been lost on the flight or something. Meanwhile, there's some creep who's taken it away so they can put on your underwear. Ugh.
So, but like, you know, why wouldn't a news company then start the story by saying thieving loser Sam Brinton? Because that's not opinion, right? It's fact. It's actual fact. The person stole, so there we go, it's fact. The fact of stealing that, and you're a loser. You're an absolute loser. So the story should always start thieving loser Sam Brinton, not Sam Brinton. And then it's like some of the sort of misleading thing about the fact that she's not he, she, whatever the term is, yeah, is maybe going through a tough time.
Uh-uh.
Thieving loser.
Thieving loser. Let's call, just say the, we've already got words for these things, right, Ben?
Call a spade a spade.
Yeah, right. We do. Yes. Right. We do. And the actual words, they're not contrived. If people can have pronouns, I want to have prefixes of reality. Call it that.
All right, so you're asking for not pronouns, but for prefixes of reality.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, good. Let's take like, this.
Serial disappointing liar, Cyril Ramaphosa, addresses the media about Eskom. Then you know where the story is going, because he's always been lying about that shit, and he's always been disappointed in the nation. These aren't opinions, these are facts. So right. That's how you start the story.
Right. Okay, I like it. You almost begin with adjectives that describe the person so that it gives people a shortcut to who you're talking about. Oh, him.
The
serial disappointing liar. Oh, I know. Yeah, okay. Right.
And it's that's not how people don't speak. Like, that's how people speak most of the time. And they describe someone, though. They won't be like, oh, Ben, this cool dude. They're like, he's tall, muscular. What? They always put adjectives before telling you how the person looks.
Making this all positive.
Meanwhile.
So I think this is, you know, you're on something there, Ben, because this is how people actually talk in real life anyway.
Yeah.
But it's also like if you look at the only purpose of news, what it should be, is to inform, right? So by having these prefixes of reality, you're straight away, you're informing. You're hitting the ground running on where the story is going.
Right.
There's no messing around. You cut to the chase here.
So I've got to ask you about a couple of those in the next hour. We've got so much to get to. Plus, we're going to be joined by a really good friend of mine who I caught up with. Coincidentally, he happened to be where I was over December. And the night before New Year, he and I had a proper catch-up. Tsepo Mokgale, who's absolutely hilarious. He's got a serious job in the corporate world now, but we'll know him if you remember the Pure Monate show, Laugh Out Loud. Stisesla, The Wild, he's been on Trevor Noah's show. He's a real success story and an incredible human being. I just love talking to this dude. He's going to join us just now. But I've got some other stuff I want to ask Simpiwe and Ben about, because they've got lots of opinions this morning and they're all pretty damn good. So stick around for that and more. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com, Friday morning.
CliffCentral.com.